We read from 1 Samuel 17. And we are going to read the first 54 verses. I suppose I could have preached several sermons on this section, but I believe that these verses form a single section in the narrative of David, and therefore have a single point and are to be preached as a single whole. So we're going to read and preach on these 54 verses. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? And taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord, that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a script. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture. We consider that passage as our text this evening. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, here we have the revelation of God's man before Israel and all of the world. According to the passage, Saul and his army had gone to war against the Philistines. They were encamped about 15 miles southwest of the city of Jerusalem in Ephes Damim. Ephes Damim means the water's edge and denoted a little stream that ran through the valley of Elah. The Philistines occupied a mountain on the west side of that valley. The valley stood between, and Israel occupied a mountain on the east side of that valley. Among those who went to war with Saul were David's three oldest brothers, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah. David, who had been serving Saul, returned back to Bethlehem, Judah, to keep his father's sheep while Saul was at war, and his services were not needed. After about 40 days or so of battle, Jesse sends David on an errand to see how his brothers are and to take a pledge from them that is a visible sign that they are alive and well, to bring them some food and to bring a present to the captain of their thousand. So David, on that day, arises early in the morning and takes his carriage and a servant and his present for his brothers. He arrives at the scene of battle and comes to the trench, that is, the wall of wagons, of the baggage wagons, that surrounded the encampment of Israel. He arrives at that trench just as the armies are leaving the camp and setting the battle array on the side of the hill with the valley below. And he hears the armies shout for war. And when he hears that, he leaves the carriage with the keeper and he runs into the ranks. And he finds the host of Judah and he finds Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, and he salutes his brethren. And just as he salutes his brethren, out of the ranks of the Philistines comes the champion, Goliath of Gath. And Goliath advances into the valley toward the host of Israel with his armor bearer before him, bearing his shield. And he issues his challenge as he had for 40 days, morning and evening. Saul and all Israel are paralyzed with fear. And David hears that proud boast echo between the hills. I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let him come down to me that we may fight. At that sound, all the men draw back, singing the praises of Goliath and talking of the rewards that Saul would give to any man that would kill him. And David now takes up Goliath's challenge. And we consider David's challenge of Goliath under the theme, Victory over Goliath. Notice, first of all, it is a stunning victory. Notice, secondly, it is a divine victory. And notice, finally, it is a victory by faith. that morning, as he had twice a day, morning and evening, for 40 days, the giant Goliath advanced across the valley out of the host of the Philistines. Goliath was a giant, and he was gigantic in every respect. He was gigantic in size. He was gigantic in strength and stamina. He was gigantic in ability and prowess. He was gigantic in arms and armor. He was gigantic in blasphemy. He was a hardened warrior from his youth. Saul spoke the truth. He is a warrior from his youth. He was trained and he was an expert at every aspect of the art of war. That's why the Bible calls him the champion. He was the man whom the armies of the Philistine put forward to engage another man of the opposing army in single-handed combat. He had done this before, and he had always come out victorious. He was also formidably armored. He was armed with a lance across his back. That is, he carried a spare lance on his back, what the KJV calls a target. On his side hung the finest sword that had ever been made. His spear was iron-tipped, and the tip of that spear weighed 20 pounds, so that the entire spear probably weighed 40 or 50 pounds, when a common spear maybe weighed 6. The shaft of that spear was like a weaver's beam, so that his hand, his massive hand, gripped that massive spear. He was gigantically armored. He had on a coat of scaled armor of brass that weighed in at 5,000 shekels, some 150 pounds. His legs were armored with brass greaves. A helmet of brass glistened on his head, and before him went his servant bearing his main shield. For 40 days, every morning and every evening, he advanced on the armies of God, and for 40 days he defied those armies to give him a man. Not only gigantic in size, some 9.5 feet tall, probably weighed in at 500 pounds, but gigantic in blasphemy. Every morning he boasted in his strength, and he defied the armies of the living God. He mocked those armies, and therefore he mocked the God of those armies. And the stakes in Goliath's challenge could not have been higher. If you give me a man, we will fight. If I kill him, you will serve us, and if he kills me, we will serve you. The stakes were death. They were going to fight to the death. This would not be a skirmish. This would not be a little tit for tat. It would not be an innocuous fencing. It was a fight to the death. And the outcome of that fight was nothing less than the servitude of the entire nation to the Philistines. The contest would decide whether the people of God would be the servants of God or the servants of Goliath and the Philistines. That giant, Goliath, is typical of the fearsome opponents of the Church of God, of God's truth and of God's name in the world. Israel and her armies are the church. The church is the army of the living God. The church is the church militant in this world. The church in this world is called by God to war against His enemies, against sin and against Satan and against false doctrine and against the world and its lusts. Against those armies, that is, against the church of the living God, come giants like Goliath. Goliath was a man to the nth degree. He was a man's man. He was the God of the Philistines. He is man as man makes himself great in the world. Man as he makes himself great in his sin and iniquity in the world. Man as he makes himself great in his boast of his ability and his power and his intellect and his skill and his wisdom. Man as man trusts in his own ability, power, skill, and wisdom. Man as man loves to war, especially as he loves to war against God, God's truth, and God's church. Man as he is the great defier of God and God's truth. And those opponents of the armies of the living God who exalt themselves against God, His truth, and church are often impressively armed. They are as impressively armed and armored as Goliath. They are impressively armed with their immense learning, their encyclopedic knowledge. They bristle with advanced degrees. They are armed with their multiple books that all of them had written upon every conceivable theological subject. They are well trained in the best schools in all of the arts of debate and argument and style to win every single argument. They are armed with the latest scholarship, the latest learning, the latest argument. They seem untouchable in their ability and in their defenses. And they brim with confidence, deliberately advancing on the armies of God, the church and the truth, and issuing their defiant challenge. Behind Goliath, as behind every opponent of the church and truth of God, stands the greatest giant, who is the greatest boaster, that gigantic red dragon called Satan, who boasts and who defies the church and the truth. And the stakes in those contests when an opponent comes against the church and truth of God are nothing that less than the life and death of the church. Nothing less than this, whether the church will be the servant of the living God or whether that church will serve Satan and the lie. And they come against the church and the truth. And they bellow their loud boast, "Give me a man that we may fight." David heard that. He heard those words echo across the valley. And those words entered into his ears. And those words penetrated into his heart. And those words move David. And he begins to ask, "What shall be done to the man who will fight this uncircumcised Philistine, who will kill him and who will take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And David asks, "This man, what is going to be done?" And David asks, "That man, what is going to be done?" And soon that report of this soldier found in the armies who will fight Goliath comes to the ears of Saul, and Saul sends for David, and David is quickly ushered into the presence of Saul, and he speaks so courageously, "Let no man's heart fail. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." And after speaking with Saul, and after resisting Saul's discouragement of him, and after resisting Saul's attempt to armor David in his own armor, David goes out with his shepherd's staff and with his sling, and he kneels down by a little brook, and he chooses out 5 smooth stones, and he puts them in his little pouch that he carried as a shepherd. And he advances on that giant Goliath bellowing there in the valley. And Goliath can't believe his eyes. Goliath is insulted by the man that Israel sends because David is red-haired and a pretty youth. And he shouts his disdain. "What? Am I a dog that you come out against me with a stick? Your own gods curse you. And I will give your flesh to the birds of heaven and the beasts of the field." And we hear little David shout his own challenge to Goliath. "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and a shield. But I come to you in the name of Jehovah of hosts, the God of Israel, whom thou hast defied." And listen to David boast in God's name. "Jehovah will give me into your hands, and I will smite you and cut off your head, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. And all the world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly, Israel, will know that Jehovah does not deliver by sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's." And at that, Goliath rushes at David. And David rushes at Goliath. And as those two combatants rush at one another, David reaches into his scrip and he loads his sling and he slings that sling, and that stone flies and that stone sinks deep into the forehead of Goliath. And Goliath crashes down with all his arms and with all his armor and with all his impressive bulk to the ground. Because there's no sword in his hand, David runs to Goliath and he unsheathes Goliath's sword and he cuts off Goliath's head. When the Philistines see that their champion is dead, they all turn and flee. And Israel chases the Philistines all the way back to the gates of Ekron and Gath. And the carcasses of the dead Philistines litter the road. Later they return and they spoil all the tents of the Philistines. And David takes the head of Goliath back to Jerusalem, and he takes the arm of Goliath, puts it in his tent. A stunning victory. Stunning victory because of the completeness of the victory. He annihilated Goliath. Israel totally defeated the host of the Philistines. They spoiled them. They drove them completely out of the land. A complete, total victory over Goliath and the Philistines. A stunning victory because it was a boy against a man. a shepherd against a warrior, a sling and stones against a sword and a spear and a shield. David had the victory over Goliath, and David brought salvation to Israel that day. And David had that victory because David went out against Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's what stands out in the text. That's David's word as he goes out against Goliath. That's what David would teach all the assembly. He says that this assembly may know that Jehovah does not save by sword and spear. Jehovah did not save by sword and spear. Jehovah does not save by sword and shield and spear. Not merely in that battle, not merely in that war, but never, ever does Jehovah save by sword and spear and shield. That means Jehovah never saves by man's strength, by man's ability, by man's intellect, by man's prowess. Jehovah never saves by man's weapons, man's arguments, man's wisdom, man's calculation. Jehovah never saves by anything that is of man. He will not save by sword and spear. That's what Saul didn't believe. That's what the entire host of Israel did not believe. Oh, if you ask them, does Jehovah save? They would say, oh yes, Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. Saul himself said that when Saul was confronted with this little waif of a boy who wanted to go fight against Goliath. And Saul says the pious thing, the Lord Jehovah be with thee. If you ask Saul, do you believe that Jehovah saves? He would say, oh yes, but Saul believed that Jehovah saves in and through man's sword and spear. Jehovah saves, but Jehovah uses as his salvation something of man, something of man's power, something of man's ability, something of man's weapons. That's what Saul believed. That's always the great corruption of the truth that paralyzes the church. That's always the great corruption of the truth that brings fear into the church. That will ensure that the church is made the full-fledged subject of Satan and his lie. That man is something. It begins with that. Jehovah saves, yes, and with something that man is or does. Saul believed that. That's why Saul, when he saw David, said, you can't fight against that giant. You're but a youth. But he has been a warrior from his youth. Saul wickedly tried to discourage David because he didn't believe that Jehovah does not save by sword and spear. So that is often the wicked and unbelieving discouragement against the believer who will fight against the lie. You are young. Do not speak. You are new. Do not speak. You are untrained. Do not speak. You are not a minister, elder, or deacon. Do not speak. And so unbelief is manifested. And Saul's unbelief in the truth that Jehovah does not save by sword and spear is manifested also in the fact that Saul tried to arm David for the conflict with his own armor. Why would he do that? Except that Saul trusted that that armor and that sword would save David and Israel. But David was all encumbered by it. David put on that big coat of mail, and David put on that heavy helmet, and David strapped on Saul's sword, and David couldn't even move. All that man is merely encumbered David. And David put it off him. David said, I have not proved these. And what David meant by that when he says, I have not proved these, is he didn't believe in them. He had proved the name of God. He had proved the name of God all his life long. He had proved the name of God, and he speaks of that to Saul. When Saul says, you can't fight him, David speaks of how he had proved the name of God. He said, when I was a little shepherd boy, then, and David mingles all the stories together, he's in a hurry. There were two separate incidents that David speaks of there about Saul to Saul. There was the incident of a bear that came, and there was an incident of a lion that came, and David focuses on the lion, and the bear gets all mixed in. David said, there was a lion that came, and there was a bear that came, and when that lion came, and he snatched a little lamb out of the flock, then I went after that lion. And I delivered that little lamb from the mouth of the lion. When that lion turned on me, I took him by his beard and I slew that lion. And David speaks of the power of that victory. He says, the Lord, Jehovah my God, delivered me out of the mouth and the paw of the lion and the bear. And so He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. I haven't proved the armor. I have proved the name of Jehovah. And David went out in the name of Jehovah. The important thing isn't even the sling. The important thing even isn't the stones. The important thing is this. David said to that giant who defied God and who cursed David by God, I come to thee in the name of Jehovah of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. The name of Jehovah. There was the power of David's victory. Stunning and complete victory over Goliath. Jehovah doesn't save by sword, spear, and shield, because Jehovah saves by His name. The Lord had taught Israel that a long time ago. The Lord had spoken marvelously of His name to Israel. And the glory of that name and the power of that name. When He brought Israel to Mount Sinai to teach Israel who He is, then the Lord Himself stood on that mountain that was all on a smoke, and that burned with fire. And the Lord Himself, in Exodus 33, verse 19, proclaimed His name. This is the name of the Lord. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. That's His name. And when Moses said, let me see Your glory, and the Lord tucked him in a little cleft of a rock, and the Lord passed by, and He proclaimed His name. Jehovah, Jehovah is God. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sins, and who will by no means acquit the guilty. the name of Jehovah. That is the revelation of Jehovah God as God alone. Jehovah God, to whom is war and all power, dominion, might, and sovereignty. The name of Jehovah God is more particularly the revelation of that God as the God of His people by a sovereign and particular choice. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom I will I harden. That's His name. He is the God of Israel. Because He chose them, because He loved them, and because He is sovereign. The name of Jehovah then is nothing less than Jesus Christ. David went out in Jesus Christ. He is the revelation of Jehovah as the God of all power, sovereignty, and might. And He is the revelation of Jehovah God as the God of His people. The God of a sovereign choice, the God of grace, the God of the forgiveness of sins, the God of redemption. Whenever we think about the name of Jehovah, we must immediately think Jesus Christ. And that name of Jehovah is the name that comes to us in the preaching of that gospel of Jesus Christ. The name of Jehovah is the gospel. It is the gospel of sovereign and particular grace. It's the gospel of the free pardon of sins. It's the gospel that salvation is all of God and none of man, because Jehovah does not save by sword and spear, but by His name. And that truth, both the positive and the negative, that Jehovah does not save by sword and spear, but by His name, is revealed in Christ in the cross. There we see, with crystal clarity, He doesn't save by sword and spear. If a sling and stones were ridiculous weapons to bring to that contest, the cross is more so. That's why the cross is a scandal to the Jew and foolishness to the Greek. What? Salvation by a cross? They mock it as much as Goliath mocked the sword, or rather the sling and the stones and the staff of David. But the cross is Jehovah's salvation, because He doesn't say by sword and spear, but by His name. And by that name, David was stronger than the Philistine. That's what verse 50 says. And David, that is David as he went out in the name of God. So, that is, in the name of God, David prevailed, or was stronger than the Philistine, with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. That's because Jehovah's name is Jehovah. Jehovah's name is Jehovah, as Jehovah comes in all of His love for Israel and in all of His hatred of Goliath. Jehovah came in David with a sling and a stone to oppose Goliath, to overthrow him and all of his blasphemy and hatred of Jehovah God. Jehovah directed the stone, and Jehovah sunk that stone into Goliath's forehead with divine power, so that that stone slew him. Because Jehovah hated Goliath, and he loved Israel. And David had that victory then by faith. That's what he said. I come to you in the name of Jehovah. In the text, is faith. He had the victory by faith. Isn't that the gospel? Always. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever believes on the name of the Lord shall not be ashamed. David came against Goliath by faith in the gospel. He believed in the name of Jehovah, and he went out in the name of Jehovah. All of the activity of David, all of David's words, all of David's attitude, all of David's courage are simply the manifestation of his faith. It is laughable in light of the text to think that because David went out against Goliath, he had Jehovah's friendship. That's laughable. Because he had Jehovah's friendship. Because he loved Jehovah. Because Jehovah loved him, and he knew it by faith, he went out. All of his activity was the fruit of his faith, the fruit of believing that Jehovah's name is the name of grace and forgiveness and salvation. Just as all of the inactivity, shameful inactivity, fear and timidity of the cowardly host of Israel revealed their unbelief, the enemy came and he defied God. They sat in the lines, trembling, and doing nothing. The whole time Goliath came out, morning and evening, no man would advance against him. None. Not Saul, not Eliab, not Abinadab, not Shammah, not even Jonathan. That's because in their unbelief, all they could see was the man. All they could see was his impressive size and his impressive arms and armament. They were impressed by man. That's what unbelief is. It's being impressed by man. That's because they weren't impressed by God. And that unbelief couldn't even be motivated to lift a finger by the rich enticements that Saul offered. I know it's perilous to trust Saul, but nevertheless, Saul did say, whoever goes against him and kills him, I will make him rich, and I will give him my daughter, and I will make his father's family free from all taxes and burdens in Israel. And as David makes his way through the army saying, what will be done for the man? What will be done for the man? The whole army had heard about Saul's enticement. But unbelief can't be moved by that. David wasn't moved by that either. That shows itself because David was moved by the fact that that man defied God. And he defied the armies of God. David, too, shows that he wasn't moved by that reward. He didn't do that to get that reward because Saul never gave it to him. Saul went back on his word, as unbelievers like him are wont to do. They say many things and go back on it. So Saul did with David. David never complained. That's because he was not moved by that reward. David wasn't moved by ambition or name building. As David was going through the host, asking the men, what will be done, what will be done? He comes to his brother Eliab, and Eliab gets angry with him. And Eliab harshly criticizes him. Why did you come up? What are you doing here? Why are you sticking your nose in the battle? I know the wickedness of your heart. You came to see the battle. And what Eliab means there is, David doesn't belong there. He should have stayed back with the sheep. And that David came up, Eliab's point is that David came up is evidence of the ambition that lived in David's heart. David's desire to name build. The very charge often comes against those who will speak against and write against the attacks upon God's truth. You're only doing this to make a name for yourself. You're motivated by a wicked ambition. What are you doing here? But the very charge against David revealed Eliab's heart and not David's. Eliab had followed Saul to make a name for himself. And men like that act just like Eliab too. Eliab didn't see any opportunity for name building in fighting Goliath. All he saw was an opportunity for death, and he wasn't willing to take that up. There's a sure sign a man is motivated by name building and ambition. They engage in wars in the church only for their own name, and they're always diligently testing the winds to see what way that they blow and how the vote will go. And they only fight when they see an advantage to themselves. All of a sudden, having diligently tested the winds and understanding how the vote will go, all of a sudden they stand up for the truth. But their courage isn't motivated by love for the name of God and offense at false doctrine, but because they tested the winds and they see an advantage. That wasn't David, and he says so. What have I done? Point to me something that I have done whereby you can point to the wickedness of my heart and my ambition and my name building. Is there not a cause? Is there not a need for someone to stand up? So David was motivated by faith. Everything in the narrative bespeaks his faith. He speaks of his faith when he was young and kept his father's sheep and defended against that lion and that bear. He speaks of his faith, his confidence in victory over that Goliath. And he speaks of his faith and his very desire to go out. Faith moved him. Because he believed in God. And he loved God. And he hated those who defied God. And his faith is revealed when he knelt down by that stream and he picked up 5 stones. He didn't intend to miss. He intended to press the battle. After he killed Goliath, he was going to go after his armor bearer. And after that, the whole host of the Philistines. He wasn't going to stop until they were all dead. That's faith. Faith was the source of his supreme confidence. Listen how he boasts. The difference between Goliath and David was not that Goliath boasted and David didn't. The difference was that Goliath boasted in himself and David boasted in God. Jehovah will deliver me, you, into my hand. That's the boast of faith. He had supreme confidence in Jehovah God and Jehovah's love of him and Jehovah's hatred of Goliath. By that faith, he went out. I come to you in the name of Jehovah of hosts. In. That's what faith is. Faith is to be in Jehovah's name. By faith, we are one with his name. So that name is in us, and that name is on us, and we are in that name. That's simply union with Christ. By faith, we are in Christ, Jehovah's name. And by faith, Christ is in us, so that we are one with Jehovah's name. And by that faith, then, we become invincible. As God is invincible, so by faith we become invincible. All the power, sovereignty, grace, mercy, long-suffering, and goodness that is Jehovah's name comes to us by faith. And all of the hatred and loathing of Jehovah God against his enemies lodges itself against those enemies through faith. So by faith, David overcame Goliath. And by faith, God gave Goliath into his hand. So also by faith, we do valiantly. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the victory that is by faith only. We thank Thee for our faith and for Thy name that Thou hast given to us, even Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. And therefore, Lord, never let us be overcome in our spiritual warfare, but that we may war diligently against sin, Satan, in the whole world, and overcome them. Amen.
We pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org. Thank you.